Hey guys, today from a different setting. So I'm actually in Spain right now because I'm on my sabbatical, but I really had the feeling to share what God placed on my heart. And so let me just talk about God's grace today, because at the moment I'm studying Romans and I am just so blown away and got really emotional yesterday about how good God actually is, how good Jesus actually is. And that Jesus is God. Like, I know this is a big statement to make, but I have been like fighting with this. Like, you know, when people say, is Jesus God? Or is Jesus just the Son of God? But Jesus is God, and we have to understand that God doesn't exist the way that we think he does, or he does the way that we exist, and that God is God, but then there is the Father. And then there's Jesus, and then there's the Holy Spirit. So these are three distinguished persons, but all God. Because also like with the crucifixion, it was like that Jesus laid down his life. No one took it. The cross didn't take it. Like bleeding out, wasn't it? He didn't die from blood loss. He didn't die from the stripes on his back, but he died because he said, it is finished, and he committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. So he gave his life. We can read this in John. I can read it out to you. John 10 verse 17 says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And we know that the name of Jesus is the highest name. And the highest name is Jesus. And every knee shall bow to his name. And if we have Jesus, we have the Father. But if we just have the Father and not have Jesus, we don't have any of them. So it shows the authority that Jesus Christ holds. And now he's seated high to the right hand of God and is our advocate. And wait until the time comes when he returns. And this doesn't mean he's any less God or any less divine, but he was completely God and completely man. And this is so hard to understand for our minds, and we try to make it up. And I did try to make it up, and I was like, no, he must be the Son of God and not God himself. But why is his name the highest name? Why has every knee to bow to his name and not to the name of Yahweh? Like, why has he so much authority that he decides to take up his life and give it up? Why is he able and capable to do that and to forgive all sins? If he was just a servant of God, he wouldn't have been able to do the things that he did, because then Moses and all the other servants and prophets would have been able to. So it's really about Jesus has all the authority the Father has given him. But we have to understand that when we say God, God is not just one person. God is like the completeness of the three distinguished persons. Jesus was walking in the flesh. The Holy Spirit hovered over the water. So the Holy Spirit is not a physical form. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. And God the Father is the Father. And no one has seen his face, because if they would have seen his face, they would have died. So how could God also be a person? You know, like in the flesh, like with Jesus. Like, we imagine God like an old guy with like white hair and a beard, you know? But we don't know what God actually looks like what the Father actually looks like. We don't know what he looks like. But we know what Jesus looked like. We know how Jesus walked. We know Jesus' life. We know what Jesus did. And he was the representation for the Father. It really shows that Jesus has his authority. And he had his time, his ministry. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, to dwell within us so that we can become the temple of the Lord, that we become a house for the Lord, every single one of us, which was so like bizarre for all those like people at that time, all those religious people, because God was only in the temple. And his presence was behind the veil in the most holiest place where only selected people could go to. And even those, they had to bring a sacrifice before going in there. They had to be clean. And the thing is, like, even then, God's presence was so powerful that some people passed out or even died, and the veil was so heavy that they had to hold it. They had servants who held it up, and they were like bound to a cord which pulled them back in case they passed out. So it's just like God's presence was so holy, so sacred to get to, but by Jesus' sacrifice, we have been made a house of the Lord so that he can dwell within us. And this is like, this blows up every religious thought, everything, every legalistic thing that has existed at that time and even nowadays. Because we can be the temple of the Lord. And how can we be a temple of the Lord? Because I talked about this in the previous episode, that we are sanctified, but we are still in the process of sanctification. But before God, we are sanctified through Jesus Christ. By believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he died for us and rose for us again, we have been sanctified. No matter what we've done, no matter what we continue to do, if we love Jesus, we know that we are being sanctified. We are being sanctified, full stop. There's a process of sanctification because we have not lost our fleshly desires with this sanctification. We are still working through it. But this is why we have the Helper and the Holy Spirit as our Helper. But the thing is, like, we can now become this house of the Lord where his presence can dwell within our bodies because we have been sanctified. We have been made this holy temple. This is why it is so important to watch our temple. Just as I said, like in a previous episode with Daniel, he looked and he watched what he was consuming to not defile his temple. And so shall we look what we are putting into our body and doing with our bodies to still let it be this holy and beautiful place for God, like his temple. But the thing is, like, what blew up my mind is just like that Jesus is so good. And we always think that we have to deserve his grace or have to deserve his love. And if we sin less than before, then it's better. But the thing is, like, he has forgiven us all. And God the Father has left all the sins unpunished because of Jesus Christ. And he will leave every sin of yours unpunished because of Jesus Christ. And only what it only takes is faith and believing. And how do you get that? By hearing from him first, by hearing about his word, by hearing about what Jesus did for you and for me, for every single person on the earth. I'm just so amazed. And the thing is, like, we want to be just in our like measures of justice. And we say, yeah, this person deserves to be forgiven. And some people who are so cruel, they don't deserve it. But Jesus said that everyone deserves his forgiveness. Everyone is made righteous by his sacrifice. The whole world, not just selected people. And this is what crushes my mind, because he knew on that cross that he died for people who will never want to have anything to do with him, who hate him, who don't want to have, like, you know, have him being there or have him being spoken about at all. And he knew it, but he still said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And he died and he committed his spirit. He gave his life freely. He didn't die. He gave his life freely, so that all can be redeemed. And he knew when it was done, for he said, it is done. And only he can know when it's done, because he is almighty, he is holy, and he had the authority to know that. He had the authority to lay down his life and to commit his spirit into God's, the Father's, hands. And when he prayed, he didn't pray to himself. He prayed to his Father, because there is the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And yeah, so there is like the passage in Romans. Let me jump to it. Where I was like, we can try to make it up and be like, yeah, this person deserves to be saved, this person doesn't. But if we read Romans 5, verse 17. No, 16 was it? That the more sin abides, the more forgiveness and justification there will be. I have my German Bible. I have my German Bible right now, so I can't read it out. But in the German translation, it also says that despite their many sins, they have been undeservingly been justified before God. So we cannot deserve it. And the dangerous thing is like thinking that we are able to deserve it by being holy, by abstaining from a specific sin for a while. But the thing is, like, we have been forgiven. And the thing, because everything adds up, because then it's like even Paul says it, what does it mean now? Shall we sin more so that grace can abide even more? No, because Jesus himself said that if you love me, you keep my commands. God said it, like the Father, if you love me, you keep my commands. And the thing is, like, once you understand the grace of God, the grace that you have through Jesus Christ and the life he has given to you, because by Adam, sin came into the world and ruled over every single one of us, flesh, over our flesh, because sin was in our flesh from the day that it came through Adam. But then he says that through Jesus, we have been made a new human. And if we go back, we can see that Adam also stands for human. And so Jesus has made a new human in us and with us. And I think this really shows that we're not living under this curse anymore, not under this curse of sin. And even in Romans, it says that sin is made powerless through Jesus. Sin is made powerless, and we shall not give it any room to rule over us. It has ruled over us before Jesus Christ. We couldn't have been made perfect. We had to keep the law, and we couldn't even keep the law completely because we'll never be able to keep the law completely. So thinking that we are only deserving of God's love through the law is the worst thing you can do, because you can never. It is only by his grace that you have by faith. And it doesn't matter if Jew or Gentile, for Romans 3:22 verse 2-24 says, this righteousness is given by faith to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are being justified through his grace by the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. It is not us. It is not our heritage. It's not the privilege we are born into. But he died for all of us. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. No matter what religion you come from, no matter what background you have, he died for all of us. And this righteousness being made righteous and sanctified has been given to us all who believe. So, yeah, it's just, this has just like crushed my mind. And I was also watching a video yesterday about the medical point of view of Jesus' crucifixion. And Jesus' crucifixion was so cruel. And to know that the pain that he has been through. The night before in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was sweating blood, where every blood vessel burst, knowing that he was covered in blood. The next day, being whipped. And, you know, having his stripes on his back so deep, the medical point of view was that he would need 2,000 stitches. All for people who eventually will never accept him, never love him, will forsake him. But he said, it shall be that way. And then he took up his cross, you know, with his bag and his muscles open in the air. His, like, thorns, his crown of thorns on his head that has been pushed into his skull. Being crucified, with every breath he takes, every word that he says, he had to pull himself up to exhale. With his back open, with the splinters of the cross, with the nails in his hands, in his wrists, and in his feet. Every word he spoke was precious. and he asked for our forgiveness. He didn't curse us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And he said, it is done. He also said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? I think I don't pronounce it the right way, but my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he has been made sin in that moment. And what has been sin before? With sin, through sin came death. So why the Father wasn't with him in that moment was because he was made sin. The sin of the whole world, the sin of every single person, past, present, and future. So that God's wrath will no longer be our portion. And to know that is just, we won't be able to understand. And with the measures of his grace, understanding more and more of it, like knowing what he did for us, the only thing that we can do is worship him and tell the world that they have been forgiven through Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you so deeply that he took up that cross for you and said that you are worthy to die for. The whole world is worthy to die for. It's not just the selected and the chosen ones, but you are chosen. And if you believe, you belong. You belong to him. If Jew or Gentile, whatever, or whoever, you belong. And this is so beautiful because this was never possible. And he came to preach it to the whole world. Not just to the Jews only. He came to the Jews first. Yes, the message is for the Jews first, but also for the Gentiles and to all who believe. So this is just so beautiful. And we're no longer living under the covenant of Abraham. The thing is, like, also with Abraham, we also read in Romans, we think that, like, with the circumcision, we know that also, like, it's about the circumcision of the heart. But it was also about Abraham. When he received that promise from God and when God made the covenant with Abraham, he wasn't circumcised. So Abraham is the father of all, not just of the circumcised. So giving Abraham the promise, you'll be the father of many nations, of all nations. He gave him that promise whilst he was uncircumcised. And he was righteous before God because he believed. His faith is the thing that made him righteous even before Jesus came. So it is about our hearts. It's about our faith. And we have to understand that it's so important what we believe in and who we believe in. And to understand and know the measures of his grace, the measure of his mercies. We can never add up to it. We can never deserve it. But he gave it freely to us so we can receive freely by believing in him and having faith. Faith, it is his grace. I know we can get annoyed at the message of grace, grace, grace. I was like that as well in churches. Like, I was sometimes like, oh, they're always preaching grace. Come on, talk more about the God, the Father, who, like, you know, the commands that we have to keep. Talk about this, this, this. But the thing is, the only thing we can talk about is grace. And to compare what God was like, what the Father was like before Jesus. With wrath being our portion, with sin bringing death, and with sin ruling over us. But no, sin is made powerless. We can read this in Romans 6, in verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sin is powerless, and we only give it as much power as we allow it to, because Jesus has set us free. So let our lives also live free from sin, and we will automatically do this by loving him more and more and knowing what he did for us. So no longer our mortal body is being ruled by sin, but It is no longer about our mortal bodies, because we have the Spirit now. We have been saved. We have been sanctified. We have been made a house for the Lord, where He can dwell in a temple. And we have been justified. We are no longer in the likeness of Adam, but we have been made anew. And we shall be made more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit helps us to become more like Jesus. I know if you know this song, Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do is that I can honor you. Resurrected, sanctified, make me into your image. Definitely listen to it and pray it. It is just so beautiful, and He will help you. So I will pray and close off this episode, and then just continue to spend this day in stillness with God, because it's Sunday and I wanted to be completely still, but I had the feeling to record this now, and the sun is out, praise the Lord. And the sheep are actually coming in. I don't know if you hear the bells. Like, they are all over there behind the camera. So I always have to think of David. Yeah, I always have to think of David. And he was probably preaching to his sheep. And also I have a, like, yeah, it's just like so beautiful how they just know where they are. And that they are so being taken care of. And how they just be. You know, and we shall be like that sheep. But yeah, so I close this episode off now. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. And bye-bye.